Thursday, November 10th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, Tuesday was Election Day, and as we're recording this, we're still awaiting some of the results of the election. Today, I want to focus in on one of the bright spots of Tuesday's election, and that is with governors. Harry, in 2021, the American Legislative Exchange Council put out a study. They had a list of the top 10 five-star governors. Now, much of this had to do with their economic policies, but other things were also put into their rationale of how these 10 governors were their five-star governors. Of the 10 governors, 9 of them were Republicans, and I would say conservative Republicans. 8 of them that were running for re-election, all of them won on Tuesday by an overwhelming margin.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. The other point of the article, Tom, was that the hope for America to maintain its commitment to being a constitutional republic, embracing the historic concepts of federalism, and also maintaining integrity within the political structure is not going to be found at the level of Washington. The article affirms what our founding fathers were focused upon, and that is to keep the real power and impact of America at the level of the state. Originally, we were called not the United States, we were called these United States. What united us was the Constitution. Real government was taking place at the state level, except for those responsibilities assigned to the federal government in the Constitution itself. These are states in which intranational immigration is taking place. People are moving to these states. One of the reasons why is the stability, the clarity, the economic assets of being in these states. Out of these 10 states, with 9 of them, interestingly, Republicans, and 8 of them, as you mentioned, came up for election, and all of the 8 were overwhelmingly reelected, probably the best case study of those governors would be Governor DeSantis. Tom, as you know, I lived in Florida, and to look at the voting map of Florida and see the significant movement of the Hispanic population into voting for a Republican was pretty astonishing, because Miami-Dade was reliably going to be a Democratic county. When you see this movement of the Hispanic vote into the Republican column in the re-election of Governor DeSantis, you've got that which has been the foundation of the Hispanic community, which is the Cuban Americans, most of which have parents and grandparents who had to flee Cuba under the communist revolution there. They've been pretty reliable Republican voters. The other 2/3 of the Hispanic, and one of those being Hispanics from Mexico, Central America, and South America, they've been reliably Democratic voters. And then you've got the third category, which are those that have come out of the Spanish-speaking Caribbean islands. But now it was clearly a movement to voting for Governor DeSantis, and it's not simply the fact of his Hispanic heritage. What I think is clear is the Hispanics have responded to the way that he has governed. Tom, in our conversation, I think you've pointed out, and rightly so, that there are about 3 areas that stand out in these governors in general, but stand out in an exemplary way with DeSantis. Number one, these governors are all committed to federalism. They're all committed to limited government. They're all committed to sanity on taxation policies, sanity on business taxation. It's an inviting environment to bring business. It is an inviting environment to live because of either low state income taxes or because in some cases, there are no state income taxes. Secondly, these governors, in terms of the culture war, go on the offense not so much as an ideological warrior, but as a knowledgeable warrior picking the right battles. No, you're not going to mutilate our children. And no, I don't care how big your corporation is, Mr. Disney, we are going to have certain policies. And if you don't like it, then you can pick Disney up and move it. thirdly, whether it's economic policy or tactically selected culture issues, that common sense wins the day, they clearly have an offensive strategic mindset. They do not sit and try to defend themselves against the New York Times, against the ideologist and the politically correct cultural elite class. They go on the offense with very common sense statements. Ideology is not going to rule in our sports teams, in the locker rooms, and in the classroom. No, biology is going to, and the curriculum is going to be designed not to indoctrinate kids for a sexual revolution ideology, but to educate kids so that they can function in life. There is no doubt it is seen in DeSantis, and I think that becomes a model that you see in this election that you want to take a look at.
Well, Harry, as I said at the beginning of the program, we're still counting some of the votes related to the House and the Senate as we record this program, but overall, it was not the night that we thought it was going to be on Tuesday night.
No, the pollsters told us a lot. The leadership of the Republican Party was almost giddy going into the election. You can almost see McCarthy, I'm going to be the Speaker of the House, the other people on the committee about how they were going to occupy their positions of leadership. So instead of a red wave that was being predicted, what you got was a ripple, which means you just gave your opponents the ability to claim a victory even in the midst of defeat. My guess is there's going to be some serious accountability within the leadership of the Republican Party. Tom, it's amazing that we've still got significant questions about electoral integrity. I'm not making any accusations. I'm just saying it's clear that we had problems in this election. And even though we had such a significant turmoil around electoral integrity, and now we had 2 years to address it, not only were there cases of concern, but they were in the very same places where there were accusations 2 years ago. If there is anything in the American experiment that must be beyond question, it has to be electoral integrity. We really need the federal government to get out of the way and get the states on record for their responsibilities. I think you got to rethink advance voting and mail-in voting and absentee voting. How you're doing it, when you're doing it, and accountability in doing it, and how do you count it, and when do you count it. Voter IDs are absolutely essential. I would suggest that we have a Election Day holiday, and the reason why is the importance of everybody making their vote. And we need public verification. Tom, we will be doing some follow-up programs as these elections become clearer. It looks like the Republicans perhaps are going to take control of the House of Representatives, but we'll need to do a little bit of a sanctified autopsy on the election in an upcoming program as the results become certified, particularly in some of these very close races that are crucial in terms of the next 2 years, which will lead up to another electoral event that will include the presidency itself. While looking at this from a Christian world and life view, I just simply want to tell all of our listeners, it's interesting, I think it's important, but my confidence is in the Lord. King Jesus, who does not need my vote, is ruling and reigning, and he is accomplishing his purposes. The Lord our God is sovereign and has ruled his decrees from the foundation of the world for his glory and the good of his people. And I don't know what his plans are, but I do know his plans are sure, and they will be accomplished. And my call is to embrace the privilege I have in a number of responsibilities, including my citizenship, to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
As we close out for today, let me remind you, first of all, that tomorrow we'll be doing the Ask the Pastor segment. If you have a question for Harry, send it to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Questions concerning the Scriptures, question concerning the issues of life and how the Scriptures address those issues. Let me also encourage you to download the Briarwood app. With this app, you'll have access to audio, video, and written resources that will encourage your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. The app is yours at no cost. Well, do join us again tomorrow, Friday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.